Okay, so we have our next talk. Alexei is going to tell us about Rust and ClickHouse. So please give him a warm welcome.
My presentation today is not about how to rewrite everything in Rust. It's more about how to not waste years in rewriting, but do something more sane. It's about our approach in Rust in ClickHouse. So what is ClickHouse? It's an open source project. It's pretty big, almost 2,000 contributors, 43,000 stars. It's a C++ code base, mostly C++, I would say 99%, maybe 95. 1.5 million lines of code. It exists since 2009. And today it's the most popular open source analytical database. And I can say C++ is not the nicest language, but in 2009, neither was Rust. So we started with C++. And it was quite a good choice back then, and it's still quite popular in databases, database management systems, in graphics applications, video, like games, computer-aided design, operating systems, drivers, scientific data analysis. So it still has its place. But the question is, if we started today, should we write ClickHouse in Rust, not in C++? Let's take a look. And the first question, is C++ a pain? Yes, it is. In big projects, people try to soothe this pain a little by adding even more pain, adding many, many ways to test the code base. So they have segmentation faults, they have data races, and they have to use all types of sanitizers, address sanitizer, thread sanitizer, memory, and undefined behavior sanitizers. They have to use fuzzing, and we have to run all types of tests, including randomized tests, stress tests, performance tests, functional integration tests, compatibility tests, logic tests, Jepsen tests for correctness of distributed applications, and so on, so on. We run about 10 to 30 million test invocations each day. So it's quite a big pain, but, and you know what? We still have segfaults in production. Should it be different with Rust? There are quite a lot of reasons for using Rust today. The obvious one is memory and thread safety, but it is the most obvious. Another reason is that many modern libraries, many modern projects are only exists in Rust. For example, libraries for data lakes, like for Iceberg, for a long, long time, the only library was in Java. The same was for Delta Lake, but then for Delta Lake, Databricks implemented a Rust library. But a C++ library, a good C++ library, it still does not exist. So if we don't use either Java or Rust, how can we use Delta Lake? And another reason is there is a lot of hype around Rust. I see this full audience. And I would say, yeah, this is true. If this talk was about some boring C++ stuff, probably I will have just a few people in the audience. And maybe not here. But there are a few arguments about rewriting in Rust. And the main argument, if we do a full rewrite, it will take years. A mature database, 1.5 million lines of code. How to do a full rewrite? We cannot just stop and allocate a year for doing this. And it will take not a year, it will take many years. Another reason is that using Rust is simple, and using C++ is slightly less. So, but if you use both C++ and Rust, you will get pain from both of the languages. So maybe it's not a good choice to use two languages at the same time. And there is a lot of accumulated knowledge about C++, so why should we throw away this knowledge just to rewrite? Another reason is there is too much drama about Rust. What if we write a database and someone will troll us just because we use unsafe in one file and we use unwrap in another file, and people will hate us, and I don't want that. I want something boring. I want something sane. Okay. By the way, performance and efficiency is not a deciding factor. You can write equally performant code both in C++ and Rust. Sometimes it will be easier in Rust because you can do quicker iterations, you can optimize quickly. Sometimes you can do it faster in C++ just by avoiding complications with borrow checker and so on. Okay, so the approach is not to do a full rewrite, but to do iterative development. To find some library, some small feature that we don't really care about, and just to test. Can we use a library in Rust, integrated in C++, and use it as like a gateway for our Rust development? If it will succeed, we will add more libraries and more libraries, and maybe we will attract more engineers. Maybe we will iteratively rewrite our code. We use CMake build system, and CMake has some way for integrating cluster libraries, and in 2022 it was a library named Corrosion. So we selected this library, then we found one student just because we did not want our full-time employees to lose sanity about if we ask them to drop C++ and write in Rust. And we found one function that we don't really need, Blake tree. There was a Rust library for Blake tree, and we decided why don't add this function to SQL and try what will happen. And actually, it succeeded. We integrated this library and even written an article how Blake tree in Rust is faster. By the way, then we replaced it with an implementation from LLVM that is in C++, so it did not really matter. But the point is, this was the first thing we integrated with Rust code. Here is a pull request from this guy. And what was the second? I heard that Rust is good for terminal applications. And sometimes I think that the only thing that people do in Rust is writing and rewriting terminal applications. So I decided, we have a terminal application, ClickHouse client. Why don't improve it with Rust? There is a nice library for history search. And we decided to try. And it was also made by an external developer. Now this external developer works for ClickHouse. And he writes in C++. There were some problems, like we integrated it and our terminal application crashed. Because the library has a panic, and we had to patch this library just to avoid this crash. But anyway, the usability improved, so it was worth it. Actually, it was not so easy. So you can see the history. We added this library, then we improved and we made it built-in. Then we reverted this library due to a crash. Then we changed the build system and so on. But anyway, it worked. The next step was to add an entirely new language into ClickHouse. So ClickHouse is a SQL database. You write queries in SQL. But there is an alternative database language named PRQL, Pipeline and Relational Query Language. You can see how it looks. to the left we have C++, to the left we have SQL with the ClickHouse dialect, to the right we have PRQL. To be honest, I like SQL more. But anyway, PRQL, it was very like fashionable, very hyped, and I decided why don't to add it just in case. Maybe it will be popular. Maybe people will prefer to write queries in PRQL. So again, we found one student that was, did not mind taking it as a coursework. And the point is, this is not a small library. It's a full like transpiler from PRQL to SQL. And maybe we will find many like details in the build system that we will have to adjust just to integrate this library. And what happened, actually, it was integrated. No one used PRQL, but anyway. The next step was to make something practical. We already integrated three libraries, and we did not really need them. Now something that we actually needed, a library to support Delta format for data lakes. What is data lake? It's a way to represent a database in a disintegrated form. Like a data format is one thing, query language is another thing. And you can use different, query engine is another thing. And you can use different query engines like ClickHouse, DataFusion, Databricks on the same data format. And there are a few data lake formats, Iceberg and Delta Lake. And I said there were no implementations in C++, only in Java. And when the first library in Rust appeared, it was published by Databricks, we decided let's try to integrate it. And we integrated this library, and now we have support for Delta Lake. Okay, but while all this integration, we faced just a bit of problems. Let me go through these problems. What is wrong with Rust? It's a so nice programming language. Everyone loves it. Rust might be a perfect language, but the problem is when you integrate ClickHouse, Rust and C++ together. And the first problem is how to get reproducible builds. Things like making sure that all dependencies are of fixed versions, all dependencies are in the source code, everything is pinned to avoid supply chain attacks. How to avoid things like when the build system downloads something from the internet from untrusted sources. And it is not easy to solve in C++, but we solved it a long time ago. And in Rust, it's typically not a problem. But how to ensure that when you integrate it in CMake, it does not download crates, it vendor all the crates. It was not trivial. Another problem is when you combine two languages, you have to write wrappers to call the code from Rust in Rust from C++. You have to figure out the interface. You have to figure out who allocates memory, who deallocates memory. And when we tried the first time, immediately our test system found that we did it wrong. There were crashes and so on. It was really error prone and not really safe. Fortunately, we already had a fuzzing and continuous integration system, so it saved us. Another problem is how errors are handled in C++ and in Rust. And In C++, we use exceptions. Actually, I like exceptions. Maybe you prepare some, I don't know, Rotten Tomatoes for me. I use exceptions. In Rust, people typically don't use exceptions. You can get something close to exceptions in Rust, but it will be not easy. And sometimes, instead of error handling, people just use panic. And it is OK for applications that do something like batch processing, for applications that invoke it like once, do the stuff, and went away. For server applications, it is quite controversial. You don't want some third-party library to just terminate your server. So you have to fix all these libraries. And I would like to say that, yes, panic is memory safe, but it is in the same way memory safe as like abort or std terminate in C++ or even null pointer dereference. It is memory safe in the same way as panic. But typically, panics are used to indicate some bugs, failed assertions. And when you go seriously with fuzzing, you almost certainly will find some corner cases and will find some uncover some bugs in Rust libraries. And in this way, the fact that we write code in C++ and we have to pay for all this pain, for all this testing, it helps us with Rust as well. One example is in PRQL. So immediately we found that if you write a query something like X arrow Y, it will crash. And we had to fix it. Not a big problem, but OK. Another thing is sanitizers. Maybe you want to say that you don't need sanitizers in Rust because it is so safe. Why do you need address sanitizer in Rust? Why do you need memory sanitizer in Rust? Does it have uninitialized memory? But we built all our code with sanitizers, and we want all our builds to continue to be tested with sanitizers. So all the code must be sanitized. For memory sanitizers, it's important that every code that writes or reads into memory is sanitized. And initially, we had to switch to the nightly toolchain for Rust just to get memory sanitizer. For some reason, we still have some problems with it. Some Rust libraries are disabled with memory sanitizer just because they don't provide some symbols that are required to compile them this way. But today it is mostly not a problem. What about cross-compilation? And again, I can say that cross-compilation in Rust is much better than in C++. The only problem that, again, we paid a huge amount of effort to make it working with C++. We had to provide custom toolchains, custom headers from libc for every system. But now we have to solve this problem again. And it was, again, not easy. What else? What about dependencies? For example, we prefer to link everything statically. We statically link OpenSSL. And we statically link Delta kernel arrest from Rust. And it depends on another library named request. And request also depends on OpenSSL. And for some reason, now we have two different versions of OpenSSL in the binary. And actually, not just in the binary. One was statically linked, and another was dynamically linked at runtime. And it broke our hermetic builds. Actually, we found a configuration option just to switch request to use Rust TLS. But the problem was that Rust TLS was not FIPS compliant, and we had to switch it back to OpenSSL and make sure that it used the same OpenSSL that is FIPS compliant. Okay, problem solved. What is next? Composability of the code. The question is what are the conventions that we use for the libraries? How each library should allocate memory? How it should spawn threads? How it should maintain connection pools or caches? If it does HTTP request, how it manage retries? And if we make it one way in our C++ code, how to ensure that other libraries do it in the same way? And the answer is we cannot ensure it. Either we just patch these libraries, or we get away with using different ways of managing these things. Small surprises. Like when we added PRQL, we found that some symbols in the binary now take like 50 kilobytes just for the name. And this is one of the names of these symbols. I see Holmes key repeated like 20 times. Lexer token. It's some kind of monomorphization like C++ templates. I'm not expert in Rust. So I would say, no, this is not better than C++ templates. What about dependencies? Like software composition analysis. If we list our C++ libraries that we depend on, it will be like 20, maybe 30 libraries. If we list Rust libraries, there will be 156 direct dependencies and 672 indirect dependencies. I would say it's not that bad. It's not that bad as it is in, say, Node.js. If we use Node.js, maybe NPM, maybe we will have thousands of dependencies now, 672. But it is not as like as boring as in C++, where you cannot just add a library, you have to integrate it into build system, and for this reason, you cannot have too many libraries. Okay, actually, all problems have been solved, and now we have just a bit of Rust code in ClickHouse. We did not rewrite it in Rust yet. Maybe there is a chance. It depends. It depends on the enthusiasm of our engineers. I don't see a lot of enthusiasm, by the way. But there is still a chance. So what are the takeaways? Rust is actually a great language. And you can write in C++ and Rust in the same project. And if you like Rust, welcome to be a ClickHouse contributor. Thank you.